I think there's any food in there.
What?
Romans 12. We're not doing, we're speeding along here.
Oh, really?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present to your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We spent yesterday on what it meant to be conformed to this world. But we didn't really talk about the word world. This is the word, there are two primary words that is in the scriptures for world. One is ion, A-I-O-N, and the other is cosmos. And when it speaks of ion, or as it does here, the world here, it means all thoughts, customs, religions, which are a part of any generation current in the world, moral or immoral, religious or non-religious. It's the subtle spirit of the world. And it's the spirit of the age, but then it's, by definition, it's also the spirit of all ages, of the world. It's everything that is going on in time and space, at any moment in time. Be not conformed to this world. You can't go back in time to be conformed to it, or you can't go to another place and be conformed to it, because there is nothing in this world that reflects or that is the mystery. I mean, things reveal a mystery, but they are not the mystery. That's why it's so critical that you don't try to conform to a form. That's why in the only real description of Jesus, he is without form. There's no beauty in him that you should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men. And so any aspect of conforming to the world or to a person in the world or to anything else or making provisions to be conformed to, and the next issue, what you're going to do about something is... there's no way to describe how evil it is.
That's reminiscent of that line someplace where it says, lo here, lo there. Christ is here, Christ is there. Be this, be that.
Can everybody comprehend that in its entirety? There is nothing in the world that is right.
And this is... Jesus said, the scriptures testify of me, and this is him. This is the way he is.
Did you ever try, everybody says he's such a great teacher, did you ever try to live by the, just read the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount? You can't do it. The only way it can be done or approached even is in a community. But there seems to, this is one of those places when I first started this intense study where it seemed to be, where I thought I had a gotcha with God. Because let's look at the gotcha. Let's go to John 3. John 3, 16.
Yeah. Big John?
Big John. Mm-hmm. verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's become the byword of modern Christianity and football games. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, first of all, the part of the emphasis is not on in this case, the emphasis is how he loved. He loved by the crucifixion. You understand that? This is God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son. He crucified. Okay, now go to 1 John. Same writer.
Is that Cosmos?
No, here it's Ion, the same one. I mean, right. I mean, in John 3:16, it's Cosmos, yeah. In 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Or chapter 1, verse 2:15. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
B-58.
Why are you pointing at Keala? She didn't say B-58. You said B-58. Kayla didn't say B-58. So why are you pointing at her?
She was my inspiration.
The woman, she made me do it.
I'll pay you to read the verse. Let's go.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, so here we go. I thought, aha! I got you, God. But then I looked up the words and I said, here it's the same word as in Romans 12, ion. In John 3:16, it's cosmos. Well, what does that mean? Why is it, what? Cosmos is where we get the word cosmology, but cosmos is really it means the adornment for the bride. It's a reference to her, the adornment. It has nothing to do with the Zeitgeist or what's in the world. I mean, the value systems and stuff. Do you see how important that is? But anyway, let's go back to Romans 12.
Where do we go?
We're back to Romans 12.
Let's not make a big thing of it. Did you miss something?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, God so loved the world, and then we're supposed to have the mind of, we're supposed to see the same thing, think the same thing.
I get that.
Okay, but then it says, love not the world. Well, huh? Well, I know, but I didn't know that.
Oh.
That when I before I looked up the word, so I had a gotcha. I was going to be able to throw the whole damn thing out. It didn't work. All right. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, transformed is metamorpho. Metamorphomai, actually. And it's that particular word is only used four times. And it describes the transfiguration of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. When time and space and all law, natural and spiritual, lost its hold on him because he had fulfilled everything. Now, that then is our, that's what our only vocation, our only avocation, our purpose, our every breath must be towards this singular thing of transfiguration. By the renewing of your mind. That's the agency. The agency is the renewing of your mind. You got it? What?
So it's so delicate here because the renewing of your mind is the stopping of everything and emptying of everything, not the putting on your guard and going for it. It's not an energy expending effort. It's a rest and...
No, you can't push that energy into it.
You can't do that. Quote an old saying. But it's so right on the line here.
But I don't... See, that's what I don't understand, why you would think it was on the line. To me, it's obvious. There's nothing subtle about it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
But the transforming by the renewing of your mind is where everybody gets tripped up. Because they think you got to do something to transform.
To renew it.
Rather than it being so simple.
So it's a do nothing, it's a not do something.
Right.
Well, the word for renew is anakinesis, which is a great word. And it means a conforming to that which was. And is. And will be. And that can only be the mind of Christ.
And none of that is what the world is.
None. Zero. Zit. And let's go and see another proof of this. Go to Luke 4. This is the temptation of Christ. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made into bread. That it be made bread. And Jesus answered him and said, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And again, he showed him. We don't have any way to describe this in English, but he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That means all the past kingdoms, all the present kingdoms, and all the future kingdoms. And it's the kingdoms of the world, Ion. All the kingdoms, everything that took place in time and space. And he said, the devil said, all this has been delivered over to me. You gotta capture that. All this has been delivered over to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah. Well,
it's close. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now, you got to understand here, this is pretty subtle. First of all, the devil taking him up to the high mountain in a moment of time wasn't some little guy dressed in red with horns and a tail. It was his mind, a son of man. Can you capture that for a moment? Just like the snake didn't talk, the snake was a metaphor for your mind and my mind and all men's mind. And here, Jesus pushed himself to the extent of the fullness of the capacity of him as Son of Man. And he saw, and if he would, if you will worship me, what that means, it doesn't mean, oh, I worship you. It means if Jesus would have given breath to himself as Son of Man. Can you understand that? That's what it means to worship, to give importance to. If he would have given importance to himself as Son of Man, rather than live in that empty position and moment of dependence, then he would have been God of this world. That's what the point of it is. And he, in a moment of time, could have, with a snap of his finger, could have cured all illness. He could have cured all pain. He could have, in an instant of time, met every possible need for food and love and all the needs of the human race. Can you capture that for a moment? And this is why when Peter said to Jesus, well, let's go there. Go to Matthew 17. This is important because it came directly after the transfiguration. And where is it? Well, I can't find it.
Is it where Peter says, build three tabernacles?
No. You all know the story. They were going to keep him from being crucified. And Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things that be of man and not of God. Dwell on that one for a minute. The man who was going to be the chief spokesman for Jesus Christ, to the Jews at least, the chief apostle, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things that be of men and not of God. Paul said in Galatians, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. How much of your life has toward pleasing men? Including you. So there's a mystery here with regard to what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The test of whether or not you have the mind of Christ is that the poor, you will meet the needs of the poor as they come into your life. You will lay down your life, the right to yourself for the brethren. There will be nothing and no one that you haven't forgiven from the heart. But you can never make any of those things your goal. It's like the test. There will be a community that's formed, but if you give importance to the community, then the community is meaningless. It's all about this position of emptying. Now, how do you know whether you've emptied? Well, you'll do that. That's what this Bible about tells you what happens if you've emptied. But you can never put your eyes on the thing and say, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. That's why you can't ever think you're doing good. The moment you think you're doing something good, then you've polluted it. You can never be a healer. You can't think, oh, I have a healing ministry. No, you don't. Can you see? It all has to be loving the Father with all your heart, with all your soul, and loving there is the verb, giving importance only to Him. The other things flow. But the moment you take your eyes off him and put it on the issue, then all is lost again. Do you understand the importance of what it means? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Now, and again, we're going to spend all day tomorrow on the renewing of your mind, or all Bible study, to see that you've got to come to this place of making no provision, as we happened with Gary yesterday, making no provision for the flesh. In other words, the only way to do that is emptying. And it doesn't matter, and the emptying has to be always. You can't empty when you're in Bible study and then go out in the world and do your job. You have to empty at all times. Let's go to John 7:17. We'll quit then. This is when he was tempted by his family, and his family thought he was crazy. Then Jesus said unto them, my time, in verse 6, then Jesus said unto him, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. And again, the world, all of the activity in the world is evil. It's not a matter of saying, well, that's more evil than something else. This is why sin isn't, the Bible isn't a moral, it's not about morality or being good versus, it's about environment. You're either in it or out of it. Well, let's go to verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man wills do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, if any man will, if any man wants to know the will of God or to do his will, if that's in you, the promise is he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether Jesus was speaking of himself. Do you understand the importance of that? The certainty of it is total if you're, the want here implies that I'm willing to do whatever is necessary. I give up the right to myself. You will know that you know. Why? How can you know that you know? How can it possibly be that you have need that no man teach you? Because nobody can teach you anything about the kingdom of God except he that came from the kingdom of God, and he's already in you, and all that any preacher or I can do or anyone else is they can say something that witnesses what you already know to be true. And that's to me, there's great, great peace in that. Let's go to one more time. Let's go to 1 John 2 again. Verse 18. Well, let's read where we were. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And again, remember, love here as the verb means give importance to, give breath to. We can't understand that because every time we hear love, we hear some Pollyanna version of what love means. And we don't distinguish when it's used as a verb or a noun. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man gives breath to the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's all, we just saw, it's all that's in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. But as that same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. It's all done. It's all finished. You've already been perfected forever. Do you have any things to say about what happened yesterday?
I've thought a lot about it. I've prayed a lot about it. I don't have anything on top of my head to say about it.
Do you still in agreement with the idea that you were making provisions?
I've thought a lot about that, and
you're still considering it?
Yeah, I'm still praying about that.
Well, could I say how it seemed? It did seem like a big deal to me because it explained in an understandable way everything you've ever said that bothered me. Because it seemed like not providing for the future, like searching for something that really can never be found. Like it's an endless search for an understanding that'll cover everything, that where everything fits together. Mm-hmm. But it's never going to happen. So I don't know if that.
Well, here's. Yeah, and again, I don't mean to jump on you, but when you say, it sounds righteous to say that you're going to pray about it, or you're praying about it, but you said yesterday that I understand.
Yeah, and I did.
Okay.
And I saw what I saw at the time, and I can't even tell you what I saw when I said that, although I, it was very clear in that moment, and I don't know.
So then, is the praying about it and considering it, what does that mean?
Considering
no, I'm. It's just I'm watching what happens. That if I, because as life unfolds, as I live, if I do that, I will see that I'm doing that. And
can you see you're doing it right now? I will see that I'm doing that.
I guess this is just how I live
no,
life.
No.
That's how I view this doctrine. Is
I know, but
that
it's
God reveals himself in the way. That's how I see what we do.
I know, but you're making provisions. When I see, then I shall see. It's again, time has entered the equation. Instead of instant obedience. You saw it yesterday. It was clear as a bell. I saw it in your face. Your countenance changed.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're back into considering it and praying about it. And it has to be repented of, Gary. It's not about you. What's about you is death. And I mean, you know, I don't want to gang up on you, but I think everybody in the room understands it. You're making provisions for the flesh, even in that your answer to my question. Because as I go, I will see. No, it's now. You're making provisions for how your flesh works, how your mind works. When you see, then the instant, the obedience must be such that you revenge the disobedience with violence instantly. Never again to move into that domain. And I wouldn't say this to you unless you, and I know you saw yesterday. You saw that the issue was making provisions for the future. For how you would respond or not respond. And you've just said the same damn thing now. This is just how I am. I believe that as I go, he will reveal. That sounds so sincere, but it's bullshit. There has to be repentance, not to be repented of.
Well, it's almost like you're fishing for a lie here. I'm telling you what I see, what I know, what I am, and that's as far as I can go right now. I don't know.
But you did. You went to the end yesterday. Do you remember that feeling?
Sure. Yeah, I did.
What caused it?
Well, what makes that real to me is what happens afterwards, let's say. You know, I saw. Now, what do?
You repent again. The moment you make provisions.
Right.
Do you understand? Do you hear your sentence to me?
When does that moment come?
It came right now.
Okay.
But you just did it again.
But you're asking me a question and I'm answering it as clear as I can.
I understand, but your sincerity is what's getting you in the way. You saw yesterday, your obedience was fulfilled. But now there's no readiness to revenge that disobedience that came up. Because you just said it again. You said the same thing you said yesterday. Well, it's the way I am, and this is the way I believe he's revealing it to me. Can you? It's finished. It's done now.
Well, none of that I deny. It is finished. I don't disagree in any dimension with that.
Did you hear what Wade said to you?
Mm-hmm. That was very important to me too. I wish other people would speak up.
Another thing that came out yesterday was just there's no need to do it. There's no need to have a plan for the future. Because we're taken care of.
That doesn't mean people don't struggle with it. I mean, I struggle with it every second of the day and find myself immediately, I guess that's a really good way of putting it, revenging the disobedience and saying, damn it, just be here now.
You cannot ever, ever, by your thoughts, your words, or your actions, justify something other than the fulfillment now.
Absolutely.
And you may not recognize it at this moment, but if you listen to this tape, you will see that you justified future disobedience in what you said when I asked you the question.
I heard what I said. I know I did that. I knew it when it was coming out of my mouth.
But then, if that was true, then you accused me of searching for a lie.
No, you want me to say something different than what I said because it didn't meet up with what you hoped you would hear me say, and I couldn't say anything different than I said. I don't know why, and I don't know, you know.
Because you give provisions for the flesh. You make provisions for your disobedience. And the provision that you make for the disobedience is His grace. Can you hear what Paul said? God forbid! Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! You don't understand that what you're doing is continuing in sin that grace may abound.
These are the very things that I've been thinking about. But you got to understand, I do it different than you. Otherwise I would give you a different answer.
Well, again, all I'm responding to yesterday, it was with joy when you said you saw that you're making provisions. Can you see now that you're also making provisions? That's all. If you can see that you're making provisions, then you can truly repent. It's not the way that I think or the way that you think or the way that that's not what this is about. The work was finished from before the foundation of the world.
Yeah, I know that.
But then you can't have any excuse. You can't make provisions for disobedience. That's to me the bottom line here. And I'm not trying to pick on you.
I guess I'm saying this is an important, big deal to me. And what I'm saying is it's paramount in what's going on and what I'm praying about, thinking about. And I'm not done. This is something that
But
it's like Selah. I'm considering these things because it's like I am.
But see, you understand what Selah means?
Consider these things.
No. Selah was the instructions to the musical. The Psalms were sung. Then the musician, Selah was instructions to the musician to pause for a second.
No, I always thought it meant what Gary said.
Your obedience was fulfilled yesterday over this matter. There's nothing left to consider. There's nothing left to pray about except revenging the disobedience. And you think that I'm doing this so that you'll satisfy me. I don't care about me. I don't care about satisfying me. I care about you. And I couldn't do what I do if I let this slide. Just think about the provisions that you're making. You're making provisions for more time. You're making provisions for the carnal mind to come to some understanding of it.
It's like when I hesitate responding, it's because I don't want to respond until I'm right.
Right.
Or when John doesn't say something, he doesn't want to have conflict.
Khaki.
You can never be right.
What I hear you hear saying is that maybe tomorrow I'll understand. There'll be more revelation about this than what I had yesterday. And so I'm waiting on that to come. You know, I saw the finishedness yesterday. But I'm still, you know, there's still something yet to come to me, Gary Buckner. And it may sound trite because we've said it so many times, but it's not about Gary. It's not about Pete. It's not about Wade. It's not about Olin. It's about Christ in us. And the finished is already in us.
Yeah, that's where there's a conflict, I guess, in my brain or whatever, because I believe all that. It is finished. There's nothing left to do. I mean, I see that all the time. And so some of this conversation, I don't even understand it.
But here's the issue. It's that you've moved away from faith to some kind of reason or logic or revelation in order to be able to repent fully. Something else needs to happen. And so instead of bringing every thought into obedience, you are justifying more thoughts. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? And that's the role of your mind. It has to cause you to be in this place all the time. It's why you responded so totally, you know, so violently yesterday about small talk. Because small talk is your forte. You do it well. It's how you do your business and how you do everything. You're able to ingratiate, or not in a negative way, with everybody because of that. But there's got to be a revenging, and that's something you think is good. Back to that a couple days ago. And I'm saying to you, Gary, that you say, and I know your heart, I know what you're saying. All I'm saying to you is that your mind is keeping you in bondage. And you've put a religious vent on the bondage. I'm praying about it. Well, praying about what? Waiting for your mind to apprehend it or comprehend it? It can't. Your mind is a mortal enemy. It is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. It's not just an enemy, it's enmity against God. Which means one of you has to die.
Your mind can just try to understand and try and try and try.
Well, it will even, you know, it's, oh, I got that. But that's why it's a snake. That's why it's, and it's, somehow you're still worshiping it. You're giving breath to the mind about this issue. When you know it, your obedience was fulfilled. You saw it. But then the snake got a hold of it and said, well, let's wait and see what happens. Any of that compute?
Well, honestly, to me, the truth is in the way. That's the best way I can say it. Yes, I saw. Now let's see if I live what I saw. If what I saw manifests itself in life, what happens. Then I saw, and it's real. That's what's happening to me. And to say any other thing...
No, I understand. I'm not trying to...
Right. To say any other thing than that would be to try and escape this moment and not be in this heat. And that's the best I got. And if that's making provision for the flesh, I don't really see it that way. And I believe I saw yesterday, and I agree. Now let's see if I really did. And to me, that's how it works.
And this is part of that.
Yeah.
Right now is part of your let me see if this works.
See if I really, yeah, absolutely.
Because you're it's what you said. It reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, now I'm not talking about you. You're seeking a proof of Christ speaking in you. In terms of this finalized revelation, if you will, of the destructive of the not owing your mind anything, and I believe that this exchange this morning is an answer to your prayer. It may not seem like it, but here's what I know about you. I know that you believe. I know that you are fully equipped for the work of the ministry. I know you've been perfected by one offering. The issue is you don't know that. And so you're seeking a proof of Christ speaking in you. And that's, as you said, that's what it is right now. But my exhortation is to do it quickly. Amen?
Amen. I want to tell you something else that has happened in this process. Is that, I have been given thought and consideration to everything we talked about. And we talked about zeal and fear of God and things like that. And there's an anchoring in this body for me. You're part of it. You have zeal. I don't have the zeal you have. But I don't worry about that because you do. And this is something you told me a year ago too. You know, I used to want to study, but I don't have to worry about that because you do that.
Well, you've studied enough to know it's true.
Yeah. And so it's like because of our interconnection, I have freedom. Because what I don't have, somebody else has here. And because of the undeniable connection we have with one another, that's a big part of my freedom to be as crazy or loose or whatever I am, which allows me to see. Without these anchors, I wouldn't be free. But I do feel free. And I can go out in the world and do everything I do, and I'm glad it worked out this way. I didn't used to like that. But I'm so anchored with what we are here that wherever I go, whatever I touch, whatever I do, that's where God is. And the way I respond to it or don't, I don't even worry about that. It is what it is. And so all of this stuff, I'm as thankful as I can be for everything that we exchange in here. Again, it's a source of faith.
Well, one of the things, again, that happens in this, you know, these kinds of exchanges aren't really about you.
I really believe that.
All of that is great, but just make sure you're not making provisions.
and not making this as an excuse.
Right.
And I know, I'm aware.
Okay.
There's a difference between freedom and sloth. And if he has zeal, that doesn't mean I can be slothful.
And sloth by definition comes. I'm sorry, it's going to sound like I'm picking at you again. Sloth by cannot be, if there's no time. Eternity destroys sloth.
What is it?
Sloth? It's just thinking that
To me, that the scripture repulses. You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Like sloth would be, but hey, folks, we know we're going to sin, so just do the best you can, and it'll work out okay.
Yeah.
That would be feigning in your mind or slothfulness.
Right. In Hebrew,
he said, "God forbid."
Yeah.
We're not going to continue in sin.
And that's the when he says "God forbid," it's like it's really emphatic. But in Hebrew, the Hebrew language, the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is sloth. And that's the meaning spiritually. All righty. We don't. I didn't get a rollover minutes speech.
You're in the red.
Take a big guy.